Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Growth Marketing Today. Now, did you know that mobile marketers are only using 5% of the data that they have available to make decisions? That's a 95% gap in how they can make more informed decisions. This is why I have today Kara Dake, the VP of Growth at CleverTap, a mobile engagement platform that uses machine learning to help marketers tap into the right segments. In this episode, Kara shares her tips on how to use data more effectively to have more personalized messaging. Now, if you want the high-level outline and quotes from Kara, the amazing Kara, from this episode, simply go to growthmarketing.today/019. That's 019. Ready? Here's my chat with Kara. Hey everyone, we have here Kara all the way from Los Angeles. I am so jealous. Your weather there must be perfect.
72 and sunny as usual.
Yeah. Rubbing it in, man. It's super cold here in Toronto, Canada. Just had our first snowfall a few days ago and I think it's like 30 Fahrenheit and it's cold.
Yeah, that's super nice too to have the seasons though.
I'm super excited to talk about what you're doing right now. You're VP of Growth at CleverTap, which is an awesome company all about analytics and mobile. But before we do it, before we talk about growth and analytics and what you're doing right now, can you tell me a little bit about your journey so far? Like, how did you get to where you're at?
Sure. So it hasn't really been a straight path, but it's definitely been an interesting one. And I guess I could kind of start from the beginning of my career, which was in finance. That was my major in college. And then after university, I went to work in London. I worked in banking there for a while. And when my visa ran up, I decided to move to New York and worked on Wall Street for a few years. And the longest position I had was working in a company called Susquehanna, and we did equity research. So I was covering companies in the specialty retail sector like Gap and Abercrombie, American Eagle. Working under an analyst, his job was kind of to speak on different networks like CNBC and make retail forecasts and such. So I was the person that was on the ground getting information for him, helping putting the financial models together and just assisting him in any way for him to make these kind of buy and sell recommendations on stock. So it was all very exciting and challenging. And that was the start of my career. And wasn't quite like Wolf of Wall Street in the early 2000s. But
oh, that's too bad. I always have this thing in my head where that's like that in the Wall Street.
Yeah, I think that was like 90s and earlier. So I was actually grateful that it was a little more buttoned up with Chinese walls and such. And so then after that, I decided to go on to the brand side and worked at Calvin Klein as an analyst there, living and breathing spreadsheets and financial forecasting. And kind of got a little bored of that whole scene. And that was, I remember the launch of Kickstarter was in like 2009. And I hadn't worked in tech at all, but I was going to business school at NYU at the time while working. And I was like, oh, this is way more exciting. This is really interesting. And so made my semi-painful transition from finance to tech. And so after graduating from business school, I started consulting and working for various startups and early stage marketing kind of career level stages. I was still learning a lot and went and worked for a company called Mind Valley in Malaysia. Mm. They're a US-based company, but they market meditation style products. So that was an adventure I had in Malaysia for a while. And then I launched my own company back in 2013. I went through an accelerator for that and it was an app for finding music events. It was my first foray into mobile back in 2013. And ran that for a year, learned a lot from that, eventually had to shut it down when we ran out of funding. And then I went to Burning Man and decided to meet some people from LA and decided to move to LA. And that's where I've been the last 4 years. Really, really exciting place to be. I love the intersection of technology and music and entertainment. And so I've been working at various startups in LA and very active in the LA tech community, especially with women in tech.
Yeah.
And so I started working with CleverTap when we launched in the US about 2.5 years ago. I started as a product evangelist, so doing various sales and marketing activities, biz dev, and then transitioned into this VP of growth role, which is a more of a national type role for the company.
Nice. Well, that's an awesome path. You know, it's not always, well, I would love asking that question because like people who do growth right now don't usually have a linear path to growth, because the term growth, that job didn't exist like 5 years ago, right? Like, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I think one of the best experiences I've had is starting my own company. And that's kind of some of the advice that I have for people getting into growth is like, I see the successful people are often those that have consulted in addition to starting their own projects, in addition to maybe working for a larger company, so that you're able to see from all angles. And it's definitely a scrappy role. So the more that you've seen and the more pain that you've experienced in different formats, especially with running your own company, maybe one of the most painful, if you can get come out of that alive and learn from that, then that's where I think where you'll gain your strength as a marketer.
Nice. No, that's so absolutely true. One of the other things I found fascinating about your profile and background is you have, you know, started off your career in equity research, which has, I'm guessing, has a lot of numbers involved, right? Has that helped you do growth at all? Like being comfortable with,
you know, this
maybe high risk and lots of numbers space?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it definitely has, I think a combination of that role was very quantitative with financial modeling and also qualitative with writing research reports and assessing what's in the market and kind of summarizing that, you know, and then going to business school at NYU, there was a lot of presentations and market analysis and more financial modeling. So of course, that's a combination of being very data driven and then making recommendations and basing your strategies off of that. There's interesting conversations sometimes in the startup world around MBA type students, which I guess you could say by the first 5 to 7 years of my career were kind of in that space, which is maybe more traditional. I think that sometimes, you know, you hear investors say that they prefer not to bring on MBAs or fund those types of people because they're not scrappy enough. They've got, you know, just kind of a linear way of thinking. And I could maybe see that. And, you know, I really had to actually learn most everything in the field. Looking back at my MBA program, I thought it was useful in terms of learning how to give presentations and put together large reports and business plans, but there's nothing like hands-on learning. And so that's where it's really at with growth, right? So I think it's good in that it's taught me to be strategic, but I don't rely on it more than anybody else probably. But yeah, it certainly helps to be able to be pretty nimble with spreadsheets and such.
No, it's so true. We actually have a very similar background. I started my career in analytics, marketing analytics, and then ended up doing an MBA at Ivy School of Business here in Canada. And I did consulting. That's how I transitioned into startups and then started my own thing, which didn't work out. What kind of tips would you have for people who are trying to transition into startups from maybe they're in the finance world or in the marketing world in the traditional sense, and then they're trying to do startups? You know, one of the advice I heard from you is just start a business, but do you have other tips for those people who are trying to transition into growth or more into tech?
Yeah, that's interesting. There's no straight path. And it can be kind of hard when you're coming from, you know, okay, you've just got your MBA, you spent a lot of money on that, and now you're kind of in an early mid stage in your career, but yet you're transitioning and your opportunities could potentially, you still have a lot to learn. So you kind of got to just get out there and experiment with as much as you can. I see a lot of people get pigeonholed into specific growth areas, you know, and become an SEO expert or gain expertise in certain channels. And I think while that's important because we need experts in all of those spaces, certainly when you're just starting out, try to get comfortable with as many channels as possible. Shadowing expert growth marketers in those specific fields, I think, is really smart. Don't worry about what you're getting paid or what level they're at per se, especially in the beginning, because again, it's all about those hard skills and also about having real use cases and experiences that you can speak to for future opportunities. That's more important than anything else. So, you know, expert growth marketers are always going to need help with some of the more mundane tasks. So offering to shadow, I think, is a huge opportunity. And working for an agency that is involved in a number of those different channels is another way to, even if you have to start at a junior level, to gain access to that type of environment.
Nice. No, that's so good. That's good tips for people who are trying to transition. Now, let's jump into what you're doing right now, your VP of growth at CleverTap. For my listeners who don't know what that is, what is CleverTap?
So CleverTap is a mobile engagement platform. We offer machine learning to help mobile marketers identify their target segments. And then we have a suite of engagement offerings. So basically ways to keep people coming back and experiencing your app. So these are things like push notifications, in-app messaging, SMS, email, Facebook remarketing. And the overall goal is to be able to understand what your users are doing in your app at a very granular level. And then based on that information, engage them with the best channel with the right message at the right time. So 90% of apps are downloaded and never used again. That's a pretty sad number.
Yeah, that's sad.
But it gives us a lot of opportunity to become creative and also data-driven in the way that we, you know, we're able to target them with contextualized and personalized messages to make them want to come back. We all spend so much money on developing apps and then acquiring users for their apps. I see gaps often in the retention side of things.
Yeah.
And so it needs to be, you know, just as important as your acquisition strategies from the get-go.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I think a lot of growth people are starting to realize that retention is probably the most important thing to look at, and activation or retention. You know, you're right. Like as a marketer, you can acquire a lot of users, but if none of them stick around, then did you really achieve growth, right?
Exactly. So it really all hinges around, you know, the different segments of your user types and then how they're retaining based on the different channels that you acquired them from. So on top of having an analytics provider and an engagement provider like us that helps you identify those segments and track what's happening in an app post-download, you're also going to want to work with an attribution provider that will help you analyze and track what's happening in terms of where you're acquiring your users. And so we sync up with providers like Cochava and Adjust and AppsFlyer, some of the major ones. And with linking us up with them, you have this full picture view of your whole funnel from acquisition to engagement to retention and monetization. And so you're able to say like, oh, wow, it looks like, you know, this user type that was acquired from Facebook as a power user, they're retaining and engaging every week. So let's continue to double down on this acquisition strategy. So again, you're able to see kind of that full funnel picture.
Nice. Well, that's great to hear. So as VP of growth, what does your process look like at CleverTap?
Yeah, so we have functional departments within the company. As we've grown now, we've got departments that manages the channels. So we've got a social media department, a department that works on our digital marketing strategies. We're very content heavy, so we have a content focused team. Also work on offline and offline events. So that includes like attending physical conferences and sponsoring those, as well as online events, which would be things like webinars. And then PRs, it's kind of its own function too. So I work cross-functionally with our US and Asia departments that manage these different initiatives. And I'm also active on supporting the company in more of like a front-facing kind of way, speaking a lot of the mobile marketing events as a representative of CleverTap.
Nice. In terms of your team structure right now, do you have like a person for each of those channels that you just discussed? Or maybe you have one person doing multiple channels, or maybe you hired an agency for some of those. What does your structure look like right now?
Yeah, we're pretty beefed up now in terms of having those individual departments all in-house and have teams behind each channel. So there's at least two people in each channel that I mentioned. And it's interesting because we're a geographically distributed company as well. So our company was started in India. We have offices in Mumbai, and then we also have offices in Sunnyvale, which is up in Silicon Valley. That's our US headquarters. I'm in LA. We brought someone on in New York.
Wow.
So it's been really, and I know we're expanding into Southeast Asia too, Japan and other Asian countries. So it's been really interesting to work on such a distributed team. And I think a lot of people in our company have worked in similar environments. So just utilizing, you know, all the tools that we have available to us with Slack and Skype and making best use of that, I think we do a good job of highlighting the, I guess it would say like highlighting the skills that each kind of geography has and bringing those to light. We're a very technical company, a very technical team, many engineers in India. And so it's been really exciting to see how quickly we can roll out new features and stay ahead of, I guess, our competitors in terms of the depth of our tech stack.
Nice. That's good to hear. Now, having such a global team, like, do you have like a certain cadence or meeting, you know, every 2 weeks you meet with the whole team so that you would keep everybody together? Do you have something like that that you're running right now with your team?
Yes, we do. We have weekly team meetings that we run over Skype. And that is with all the marketing departments run by our head of marketing, Almitra, who's based in Mumbai. And so that's an opportunity for all of us to sync up on our activities. And then we also have weekly meetings with US sales and also the marketing department. So we're able to sync up together on that. We recently brought on a head of sales. Well, I guess it's been almost a year now. And he's based up in Sunnyvale and doing a great job for us, beefing up our sales strategies.
Nice. That was great to hear. In terms of as VP of growth, where has been your biggest challenge? Is it acquisition or, you know, trying to get people active on your platform, or is it more monetization? What certain part of the funnel are you really focused on at this moment?
I mean, I think we definitely are always honed in on brand awareness, brand building activities, being a, I guess, not newer entrant in the US anymore, but newer as compared to some of our competitors. We're still growing in terms of our awareness here in the US, but it's definitely starting to gain traction. And we have a lot of great customers from Sony to McDonald's, and Pizza Hut. Like, we're getting the brand recognition. We just brought on Fandango.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was really exciting. We're really strong in ticketing, actually. We work with one of the globally largest ticketers over in Asia. So we're able to tackle quite a bit of load on that technically. So yeah, other than that, I mean, I think we're pretty solid throughout the rest of the funnel. Brand awareness is obviously something that's a little bit harder to measure for. These are activities that get you in front of different audiences speaking and doing thought leadership. And it's always a challenge on the marketing side because you can't really account for that in terms of eyeballs. You know, it's like sponsoring a podcast and people want to know how many leads are going to be associated with that. And it's impossible to track, right?
No, yeah, that's true.
But at the same time, you got to keep that alive, because if you're just focusing on lead gen strategies only, often that can be get behind on overall awareness.
Mm, that's so true. Now, just looking back in your time at CleverTap, can you describe like an experiment or a campaign that you feel like was the results were surprising or it really moved the needle for CleverTap?
Sure. Yeah, I think a couple interesting things that we've worked on here that I've seen recent success with is in the partnership side of things. So I've noticed in the market, there's companies that are kind of B2B companies that are B2C also, but they're putting together educational type courses for marketers and how to like learn some of the best practices in their industries. And so we've recently been added as part of like this educational series where maybe it'll be like a 1 week course that we're leading out of an 8 week series. And then it's really useful because all eight of the partners that are part of this educational series will cross promote the series to their own email lists and social channels. And then we get the benefit of having the reach of, you know, all eight companies in one. And then we get access to some of the leads associated, and again, awareness and reach associated with each company's promotional campaign. So I would look into that. You know, we participated in 2020. I don't know if you're familiar with that company. They're fantastic. They're based in LA and they do stock photos for agencies and individuals. And they put together a campaign called Engage Camp, which was this 8-part series around a holiday. We were one of the partners that were able to provide content on some best practices for mobile holiday campaigns. So yeah, you know, when you're adding value to the consumer and kind of offering free content in partnership with other people that are doing the same, the cross promotion can be pretty significant. And I was excited to see that we're doing the same thing, joining up with App Growth Lab, which is an educational program started by Split Metrics, which is an A/B testing tool. App Growth Lab is a pretty significant course, I think with 20 or some lessons. And we're going to be one of the partners providing wow. education on that. So, and I think they were featured on Product Hunt. So when the organizer or partnership leader company supports the promotion around that, and then you can gain the benefit of being a participant, I think that's awesome too. So I'm a strong believer in partnerships when appropriate. So try to, maybe as a tip to the listeners, check out some of these educational series that may be happening in your industry and see if you can get involved, because this seems to be a trend in many industries.
Interesting.
That's great to hear.
This one was a cool one that we recently, you know, brought on. This is a little bit more on the biz dev side, but on the sales side, we recently implemented a bot on our website.
Oh, wow.
Which we're calling the Cleverbot. And we use this, a tool called Drift.
Nice. Yeah. Familiar with Drift.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of companies are looking to install these types of bot chat bots, you know, that appear right when someone comes onto the website. I think this is not a new idea, but it's been really successful for us in terms of qualifying leads as soon as they come to the site, and then, you know, bringing them down the funnel much more quickly. It's a human that's actually powering this versus a chat bot, which, depending on your business, I think you want to have a human. I'm not sure the AI is quite there yet for most of these bots, especially in a B2B type format. But yeah, definitely something to look into for that too.
No, that's great. Yeah, that's been the trend for a lot of companies, is switching over to this conversational lead gen tools out there. Do you see any other trends that is coming up in terms of marketing that's coming up in 2018 or going forward?
I think machine learning is something that's talked about a lot, and it's used in many different ways. But I think data science and machine learning is something that I would recommend to companies of all sizes to look into. You know, if you're a smaller company, it can be hard to hire, you know, for data science right away. And of course, it depends on what your business is too. But there are tools out there and services that you can look into. I think datascience.com is one, and where you can outsource some of your data science needs. We actually found at CleverTap that mobile marketers are utilizing about 5% of their overall data to make decisions. So there's a 95% gap in terms of how you can be making more informed decisions and building better segments and, you know, providing more customized and personalized messaging. These are all things that can be enhanced with the smart use of more of data. So yeah, definitely look into machine learning and outsource tools if you haven't already. And then of course, if you have the resources, internal data scientists are some of your best friends.
Nice. No, that's great. Now, I kind of want to switch gears a bit. And you were talking about partnership. I noticed in your profile that you're part of the partnership committee at Women in Wireless. And you said earlier that you're big in supporting women in tech and mobile. Can you talk a little bit about that organization and, you know, what kind of advice would you give to women in tech?
Yeah, sure. So Women in Wireless is an organization that was started about 5 years ago by some women in New York. They were mobile executives and often speaking on panels at mobile conferences, and realized that it was always generally like the same few women that would speak at every conference. And they thought, you know, I think there's more women out there that would be qualified to speak. And so they started the organization to do just that. So we connect with conference organizers and then help identify female speakers to speak at these conferences and facilitate that interaction. It's been really fantastic to participate in this, you know, over the last year, year and a half. There are so many talented women, and the conference organizers are often looking for women. They just don't know exactly where to find them. So I think one of my major pieces of advice for women is to put yourself out there, you know, and connect with Women Wireless if this is something you're interested in doing and speaking. Your local meetups can be a great target for that and get your feet wet. And, you know, everyone's kind of looking for someone to look up to, especially as a female. So whether it's a small general assembly event that you want to speak at or act as a mentor, you can always continue to grow your skills and support someone that's just a little bit behind you, you know, or just starting out that will maybe look up to you. So yeah, and you can also reach out to the conferences yourself directly too. Don't be afraid to do that. A lot of people put themselves forward to have this, you know, speaking opportunities, and it's great practice in terms of, you know, being able to speak to your message, great brand awareness, obviously, for your companies, amazing networking, And you never know what comes from that kind of stuff. I mean, I think it's probably been clear through this interview that I'm definitely a community person. I believe in partnerships and people and, you know, addition to data and spreadsheets and all that. But that's where we've really, I've seen in my career, I think the companies that I work with and even my own personal brand building, it's helped a lot and it's fun. So
it definitely is fun. It's great that you're doing so much speaking. It does raise your personal brand and even the brand of your company. Other than speaking, what are other tips you have for people who are trying to get into growth or into marketing? Maybe they're studying marketing right now in their undergrad, or they're doing another role and they want to transition. I know you had some more tips. You had some tips earlier, but you know, just to recap, what kind of tips would you have for people who are trying to transition into growth or marketing?
So yeah, I think I touched on trying to shadow other experts, maybe look into agency work where you're going to be able to participate in working in a number of channels, start your own company if you feel so inclined, or, yeah, you know, that's no easy feat, but maybe just start a side community or side project so you can kind of learn on your own budget where it feels a little bit less scary than learning on somebody else's budget. And I found that like carving out a niche for yourself is really important. And I know if your early days, you're not quite sure what your niche is, but that's maybe not true. I think we've all got our special gifts. And that's one way I've seen a lot of people have a lot of success is developing this kind of like thought leadership position, or maybe starting a local meetup that seems there's a gap in the market. And if there isn't a gap and you just are super early and just want to learn, go out and attend all of those meetups. You know, again, there's nothing like that face-to-face learning. You'll learn while you're there, and then you'll also be able to network. And you know, if you really are super scrappy, get out there and do some unpaid projects if you really just want to learn those hard skills. And again, maybe shadowing someone is the best way to do that.
Nice. No, those are great tips. Thank you so much. I'd like to wrap up very soon. You know, where can people find Kara, or what kind of promotions would you like to send people and my listeners to? You know, where can people find CleverTap? So this is your time to just give any shout outs that you want, or send people to anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to connect with me, I think LinkedIn's probably the best format to do that. So just find me Kara, last name Dake. And definitely if you want to learn more about CleverTap, would love to connect with you on that. You can either reach out and connect with the bot, the CleverBot, on the website, which is just clevertap.com. Or you can reach out to me directly at CleverTap, which is kara@clevertap.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kara, for your time, and have a beautiful sunny LA weather compared to my cold.
All right. Well, hang in there.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Hey, thank you for listening on this episode. I'm glad you made it all the way to the end. If you did, you really got some great insights from Kara. One of the things she said that I got was that growth is definitely a scrappy role. The more you've seen and the more you felt pain, the better experience you are. I know it's so true. No pain, no gain, right? Once again, if you want the high-level outline and quotes from this episode from Kara, simply go to growthmarketing.today/019. If you have any feedback or questions, like always, don't be afraid to send me an email at ramley@growthmarketing.today. Once again, this is Ramley from Growth Marketing Today, and keep on growing.